Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 25th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden races to reach a deal on his economic agenda.
Janet Yellen says high inflation will persist into the middle of next year.
A new survey says labor shortages are poised to continue.
And a big week for tech earnings as Facebook, Apple, and Amazon prepare to report.
It got tense as anti-vaxxers support Kyrie Irving outside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, plus heavy rain is causing flooding in California. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashtower in sports. The Giants beat the Panthers. The Jets got blown out by the Patriots. Home losses for the Knicks and Nets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon data has a story to tell, and Inovalon gives it a voice.
And futures are little change this morning. NASDAQ futures on the rise, though. 601 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little changed, up less than 4 points. Dow futures down 4. And NASDAQ futures up 34. Nathan.
All right, Karen. We'll get back to the markets in a minute. But we begin this morning in the nation's capital. President Biden is racing to reach a deal on his economic agenda. Talks with fellow Democrats continue in hopes of reaching a deal before the president leaves for Europe this week. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The president met yesterday at his home in Delaware with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, but there was no breakthrough. The upcoming Glasgow Global Climate Conference is providing the latest deadline. Democrats hope to include strong climate change provisions to give the U.S. leverage with other countries. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tells CNN State of the Union they're very close.
We've 90% of the bill agreed to and written. We just have some of the last decisions to be made.
Many of the administration's original priorities are still in the package, just for a shorter duration, including Affordable Care Act premium subsidies and expanded Medicaid coverage. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Amy, thank you. The other item being watched closely in Washington, inflation. Is it transitory or will it persist? Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is offering up an answer somewhere in between.
On a 12-month basis, the inflation rate will remain high into next year because of what's already happened. But I expect improvement by the middle to end of next year, second half of next year.
Janet Yellen tells CNN she does not believe the U.S. government risks losing control of inflation.
Well, rising prices usually mean rising wages, Karen, but even then, a new survey finds that U.S. labor shortages will likely persist into next year. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A survey by the National Association for Business Economics shows 36% of private sector employers currently experiencing worker shortages say they expect them to end at some point next year. 14% see worker shortages continuing into 2023 or later. And when it comes to inflation, 30% think current price increases will be permanent. About 20% say cost increases are temporary. And the majority of those are either goods producers or in the transportation, utilities, and communications industries. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, it's shaping up to be another big week when it comes to vaccine approval. Kids 5 to 11 years old could take another step closer to getting shots, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The Biden administration has said it's ready to go, and Dr. Anthony Fauci on ABC, as heard here on Bloomberg, said the shots are definitely coming.
It's entirely possible, if not very likely, that vaccines will be available for children from 5 to 11 within the first week or two of November.
And Dr. Fauci says giving the same booster to adults is preferred, but says mix and match is still a good option. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Let's turn to markets now, where we're looking ahead to a busy week of earnings. Big tech is front and center as Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon report, but today it's all about Facebook. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Facebook will face new scrutiny following disappointing results from Snap last week. It highlighted headwinds related to global supply chain issues and a changed privacy policy at Apple, issues which are also expected to come into play at Facebook. Bloomberg Intelligence says Facebook's ad impressions growth may have slowed in the third quarter as people spent less time on apps as the economy reopened. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. Well, in Europe overnight, we got earnings from HSBC. Shares are up about 0.5% after the bank gave a bullish outlook thanks to likely interest rate hikes. HSBC Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson also says the bank will buy back $2 billion in shares.
Today's $2 billion buyback is an important step, I think, and it shows confidence that we have in the underlying performance of the business and outlook, and shows a commitment to try and normalize our capital base.
CFO Ewan Stevenson also tells us that HSBC expects no material fallout from the turmoil surrounding China's Evergrande Group.
Staying overseas, Karen, there is lots of turmoil in Turkey today. The Turkish lira is trading at a record low as President Erdogan escalates diplomatic tensions with the West. He says ambassadors from 10 nations, including the U.S., are no longer welcome after they demanded the release of a prominent government critic. We get more from Bloomberg Middle East correspondent Simone Foxman.
This is something that Erdogan feels incredibly personal about. And so he was quite dissatisfied with that call to release Kavala. And then we saw this reaction. Now, it's important to note, however, that while he came out with this announcement calling for these people to be named persona non grata, which would essentially force them to leave the country, it actually has to be confirmed officially. As yet, we don't have that decision, but it's something we're watching for, particularly today around a cabinet meeting later.
Bloomberg's Simone Foxman says the lira is down 23% against the dollar this year, making it the worst performing currency in emerging markets.
And back here in the U.S., Nathan, one piece of corporate news to tell you about. PayPal said it is currently not pursuing an acquisition of Pinterest. That ends days of speculation over a potential $45 billion deal, and Pinterest shares are down more than 11% this morning.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Witham. More than CPAs, they are trusted advisors offering smart business solutions to help companies innovate, grow, and stay secure in today's complex world. Visit Witham.com for more. Local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg. And now we're at 6:07 on Wall Street, 63 degrees, cloudy in Central Park. We now have 90-minute delays on the upper level of the George Washington Bridge with a multi-vehicle accident. Michael Barr, what else is going on in New York and around the world?
Thank you very much, Nathan. It got a bit chaotic in front of the Barclays Center yesterday.
No vaccine mandates! No vaccine mandates!
Demonstrators supported Nets guard Kyrie Irving and protested New York's vaccine mandate before Brooklyn's home opener. Some were chanting no vaccine mandates. They also held signs that said stand with Kyrie. It got tense when a small group broke through barriers and got all the way to the front entrance of the arena. Irving is not playing with the Nets because of his refusal to get vaccinated against COVID-19. A New York mandate requires pro athletes playing for a team in the city be vaccinated in order to play or practice in public venues. President Biden will visit New Jersey today. The president will push his infrastructure plan. He'll be in Plainfield to visit East End Elementary School to highlight his Build Back Better agenda. President Biden will also be in Kearney to speak at the New Jersey Transit Meadowlands Maintenance Complex. The president's visit comes as New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is in an election race with his Republican opponent, Jack Chiatrelli. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie talked about the race on ABC's This Week.
New Jersey is now down to a single-digit race. Latest polls I've seen has it at 6 points. It was at...
Not as close as Virginia.
Not as close as Virginia, but trend, George, 2 weeks ago was at 15.
Chris Christie on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Residents in the Bay Area found themselves caught in more than 8 inches of rain as a storm system brought down power lines and road closures. Homes were damaged in its wake. San Anselmo Mayor Brian Colbert said last night that the dangers from the storm won't subside for at least a few days.
I'm concerned about our hillsides and the amount of rain and mudslides, so it's going to be a sleepless night for our town staff, our first responders, and many, if not all, of our residents in San Anselmo.
Mayor Colbert is also worried about flooding. Sudan's army has put the prime minister under house arrest and arrested government ministers, according to people familiar with the matter. The U.S. has warned a military takeover would imperil its support. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. It was one thing for the Jets to be unable to beat New England when the Patriots had a dynasty going. Now the Pats are rebuilding, and the Jets still can't beat them. A 12th straight loss to the Pats, who are 2-0 versus the Jets and 1-4 against everyone else. They were 0-4 at home, crushed the Jets in Foxborough, 54-13. Most points the Jets have allowed since a 1978 loss, also to New England, the Jets rookie quarterback, Zach Wilson.
How are you going to respond when adversity hits? You know, every good team that I've been on in my life, looking back till I was playing peewee football, you know, it always sucked before it got better. You know, no one ever really just walks into situations, and it's the greatest thing from the beginning, and I think guys understand that it's a process. We just got to keep getting better.
That process has been very long. Wilson left the game in the second quarter, the knee injury awaiting MRI results. As for the decision to draft Wilson and trade Sam Darnold, he made his return to MetLife with Carolina, and Darnold struggled and got benched as the Giants had a rare easy victory, 25-3. They held the Panthers to only 11 first downs, only 173 yards of offense. Daniel Jones threw a touchdown pass to Dante Pettis, capping a drive where Pettis completed a pass to Jones, who made a one-handed grab. Knicks and Nets both lost at home. Stunning loss to the Knicks, the same Magic team that the Knicks crushed by 25 on Friday. Orlando rallied in the fourth quarter to win at the Garden, 110-104. Cole Anthony, whose father Greg once played for the Knicks, had 29 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. Nets in their home opener also had a rough fourth quarter, outscored by Charlotte 32-11. The Hornets won 111-95. The Islanders a 2-0 win at Vegas. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. We're seeing S&P futures up 4 points now. Dow futures up 5. NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning. They're higher by 36 points. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield 1.65. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street, the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning. S&P futures now up about 6 points, so showing some strength now. Dow futures up 11, NASDAQ futures up 40 now. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.65%. It is coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Karen, right now Bitcoin is trading close to 63,000. It's rising for the third straight day, and market watchers are anticipating a possible launch of a third Bitcoin futures ETF. VanEck's pending Bitcoin strategy ETF could come to market as soon as this week. It carries a management fee about 30 basis points cheaper than the ProShares and the Volcari funds. Investors are still feeding off of the excitement of the first Bitcoin futures ETF launch last week. That was ProShares, and that raked in over $1 billion in assets during the first 2 days. The second ETF offering from Volcari did not make the same splash, but investors still bought in. Cointelegraph.com reports that some analysts predict Bitcoin could rise as high as $300,000 in the coming months. Meantime, Tesla CEO Elon Musk helped Shiba Inu, rise to the ranks of the largest cryptocurrencies by market value by tweeting a photo of his puppy over the weekend. But now the meme token is down after he said he does not own any. With your Bloomberg Crypto Report, I'm Renita Young. Karen?
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The White House proposals for new taxes on billionaires and certain corporations to help pay for President Joe Biden's big domestic policy bill is drawing the backing of Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. Biden spent hours yesterday at his home in Delaware with Manchin and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Sudan's Information Ministry says military forces have arrested the country's acting prime minister. The ministry described today's actions as a coup. In the NFL, the Giants won the Jets and the Patriots. The drama was at the coin toss, and then after that, the Patriots went on to beat the Jets 54-13.
Yeah.
Washington, the Ravens, and the 49ers lost. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets lost. The Celtics and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders and Bruins won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, still less than what the Patriots scored. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
The drama was at the coin toss. I'm about to save that for later. Thank you, Michael. 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get the latest on the pandemic now, with vaccine approvals getting closer potentially for kids ages 5 to 11. Joining us now, Professor Gigi Granval, the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, always good to speak with you. And the messaging we're getting from the likes of Dr. Fauci is that we could see vaccines authorized for young kids as soon as late next week. Are you pretty confident that we're going to get approval for the Pfizer-BioNTech shot?
Yes, I am, because they already released a lot of their data, and the FDA has put together their report to the advisory committee that's meeting tomorrow, saying that they don't make recommendations, but they say the benefits outweigh any risks. And the data looks very good to me. So I will be getting my 11-year-old in line as soon as I can.
Although we have heard from the Kaiser Family Foundation, they put out a survey that says about a third of parents in this country are on the other side of you, saying they're not going to get their kids vaccinated right away. Should we be concerned about that, that level of hesitancy?
Yes, I think parents, we just need to do much more education. And also maybe a lot of people will see that, you know, that these shots are very effective. They will reduce their potential for their children to have to be quarantined if there's a case in the school. And, you know, a lot of kids don't do as well as adults like to think they do when it comes to COVID. And there are a lot more problems. It's much worse than the flu, and or even the 5 to 11 age group, it's a top 10 killer of children. And so it's not as serious a disease as it is for adults, but it's definitely a serious disease.
You know, I hear that message a lot from public health officials that I speak to here. We need to get out more education, more information about the vaccines. We've been giving out information about the vaccines for nearly a year now since they were first approved for high-risk adults. How much more education can you and others who are experts in the field put out there to convince people?
Yeah, I mean, you make a really great point. But when it comes to this particular age group, we didn't have the data until just a few days ago. And it's really hard when you're actually being data driven, when you're talking to parents and saying, look, the data shows a really good efficacy, no side effects or very minimal side effects. As opposed to the people who are anti-vaccine, who can raise doubts and cause people to worry. They don't need any data for that. So it's the task is a lot harder for people in public health.
Will child vaccinations prevent another wave of COVID, do you think? We're on the downslope of this current wave. Can we get this permanently behind us, do you think, with child vaccinations?
I think child vaccinations will help, but I think any thoughts people might have of permanently behind us are going to have to be put on hold for some time. I mean, this is a global pandemic, and we do not have the virus as under control in lots of places in the world. So I think we're just going to have to move into a new phase. Hopefully people in their area will be relatively protected. But vaccination is going to be a big part of that, because it is a big world out there.
So in our last 30 seconds here, what's your outlook for COVID and for the flu as we head further into the fall and winter?
Yes, definitely get your flu shot. People have lots of projections about saying maybe it's going to be a terrible flu year, maybe it's not. I don't think we have seen enough to be able to say that yet. But regardless, a flu shot is a really safe and effective way to make sure that your risks are reduced if you get this terrible disease.
Thank you, as always. Professor Gigi Granval, the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, with us this morning on Daybreak. The Bloomberg School is supported by Michael Bloomberg. He's the founder and majority owner of the Bloomberg Radio's parent company. That's Bloomberg LP. All right, S&P futures right now up almost 6 points. Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 38 points. So futures contracts turning a little bit to the upside. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Experience the e-tron family of fully electric vehicles at your tri-state Audi dealer today, delivering the performance you expect from Audi with an eye toward a more sustainable future.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning ahead of a big week for tech earnings. We'll hear from Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon. Elsewhere, we're seeing Turkey's lira trading at record weakness. That's after President Erdogan said that ambassadors of 10 nations were no longer welcome in the country.
Well, here in this country, Karen, President Biden is racing to reach a deal on his economic agenda. Talks with fellow Democrats continue in hopes of reaching a deal before the president leaves for Europe this week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says an agreement is almost done.
We've 90% of the bill agreed to and written. We just have some of the last decisions to be made. It is less than we had was projected to begin with, but it's still bigger than anything we have ever done in terms of addressing the needs of America's working families.
Nancy Pelosi made those comments on CNN's State of the Union.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was also a guest on that program, Nathan, and she weighed in on inflation concerns, saying she expects prices to remain high through the first half of next year.
I expect improvement by the middle to end of next year, second half of next year.
Janet Yellen tells CNN the current inflation situation reflects, quote, temporary pain.
Well, rising prices usually mean rising wages, but even with that, a new survey finds U.S. labor shortages will likely persist into next year. Let's get those details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A survey by the National Association for Business Economics shows 36% of private sector employers currently experiencing worker shortages say they expect them to end at some point next year. And when it comes to inflation, 30% think current price increases will be permanent. About 20% say cost increases are temporary, and the majority of those are either goods producers or in the transportation, utilities, and communications industries. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, futures are higher and adding to their gains, with S&P futures now up 6 points and Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 41. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.65%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.45%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8%, up 66 cents at $84.42 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.20 at $1,800.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1620 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street, 63 degrees in Central Park. We're dealing with two-hour delays on the upper level of the George Washington Bridge with an earlier multi-vehicle crash. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It got tense in front of the Barclays Center yesterday. Demonstrators chanting, "Wake up, New York," supported Nets guard Kyrie Irving and protested New York's vaccine mandate before Brooklyn's home opener. They also held signs that said, "Stand with Kyrie." It got ugly when a small group even broke through barriers and got all the way to the front entrance of the arena. Irving is not playing with the Nets because of his refusal to get vaccinated against COVID-19. A New York mandate requires pro athletes playing for a team in the city be vaccinated in order to play or practice in public venues. President Biden will visit New Jersey today. Biden will push his infrastructure plan. He will be in Plainfield to visit East End Elementary School. President Biden will also be in Kearney to speak at the New Jersey Transit Meadowlands Maintenance Complex to highlight his Build Back Better agenda. The president's visit comes as New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is in an election race with his Republican opponent Jack Chiarelli. Last night, First Lady Jill Biden was in Detroit. She delivered the keynote speech at a dinner honoring General Motors CEO Mary Barra.
You've done so much to support our efforts to revolutionize the auto industry by investing in clean cars and trucks.
Dr. Biden also spoke about students returning to the classrooms in the COVID era. Severe storms have brought flooding in California and the West and increased risks of mudslides in areas scorched by recent wildfires. North of San Francisco, rescue crews evacuated residents in Santa Rosa as water levels threatened homes. This man and his family watched as their neighbors evacuated and waited to see if they needed to follow.
I have never seen the flooding like it's been today in over 8 years that we've lived here.
The National Weather Service is warning the storm system could bring historic rain. In Missouri, 5 suspected tornadoes hit areas around Kansas City during the overnight hours. So far, no word of any injuries. Investigators are now zeroing in on the chain of custody of that prop gun that accidentally killed cinematographer Alina Hutchins last week on the set of the Western Rust. The sheriff's report says the gun was one of 3 prop guns set up on a cart by the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Giant victories have been rare and easy wins even rare, but the Giants trailed Carolina 3-0 and then scored the next 25. A safety, 3 field goals by the ex-Panther Graham Gano, a Daniel Jones touchdown pass to Dante Pettis, who earlier on that drive completed a pass back to Jones, the quarterback, made the best catch by a Giant all season. Giants then put the game away.
Jones in a shotgun set. Booker to his right. Handoff for Booker, who runs left. Makes a man miss to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants. Devontae Booker. 19-yard scamper. Icing on the cake for the Giants' second win of the season.
Bob Papa and WFAN. Giant defense was outstanding. Sam Darnold, the ex-Jet, back at MetLife, struggled and got benched. It's the Panthers' 4 straight loss since being 3-0. The Giants are 2-5. They play a week from tonight in Kansas City. The Chiefs are struggling at 3-4. They lost to Tennessee 27-3. Speaking of struggling, the Jets lost at New England 54-13. The Patriots had 551 yards of offense. They beat the Jets for the second time this season, the 12th straight time overall. Jets QB Zach Wilson left with a knee injury, replaced by Mike White, who had never taken an NFL snap before, and he threw 2 interceptions. Knicks and Magic finished the home-and-home. The Knicks won by 25 on Friday in Orlando, a game where they had a 30-point halftime lead. The Magic stunned the Knicks at the Garden, 110-104. The Nets, in a surprise, lost their home opener to Charlotte, who's 3-0, 111-95. The Hornets outscored the Nets in the fourth quarter, 32-11. The Islanders, a 2-0 win at Vegas. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson is with us this morning, starting off with a deal not done, Dave.
Absolutely not, Nathan. And PayPal is the better for it in early trading. Shares are up 7%. The online payment processor said it isn't pursuing an acquisition of scrapbooking site Pinterest. Now, Bloomberg reported last week that PayPal had made an approach about a potential deal. Pinterest shares, not surprisingly, are lower, actually down 12% in early trading. Then you have Tesla up 2.5%. The electric car maker's third quarter sales surged by about 70%, according to Morgan Stanley. The firm raised its 12-month share price estimate by a third to $1,200, and that's tied for second highest among 36 analysts in a Bloomberg survey.
Of course, that's coming on the heels of Tesla earnings last week. We got another big week for tech earnings, Dave.
We do, and it kicks off after the close with Facebook, the social media company due to report third quarter results. Analysts expect the figures to show that earnings grew more slowly than revenue based on the average estimates in the Bloomberg survey. Facebook off maybe 0.25% in early trading. We've gotten results from a couple of companies so far. One of them, Otis Worldwide, haven't seen any trading since the results came out, but the elevator maker's third quarter profit and revenue were higher than estimates. Restaurant Brands International figures also out. This is the company that owns Burger King and Tim Hortons, and their third quarter earnings beating estimates as well. Taking a look at Restaurant Brands, basically little change in early trading. WeWork's up about 3%, the provider of shared office space, adding to an almost 30% gain last week as its shares began trading. Aurinia Pharmaceuticals up 2%. The drug developer climbed Friday by 27% after Bloomberg reported Bristol-Myers Squibb expressed interest in the takeover. That story cited people familiar with the matter. Some analyst calls of note, Carnival down 1%. The cruise line owner was lowered to neutral from buy at Citigroup. Paysafe down 1%. The payment processor was cut to neutral from the equivalent of buy at Credit Suisse. And Whirlpool down 2%. The appliance maker was lowered to the equivalent of sell from hold at RBC Capital Markets. And we've got to mention Digital World Acquisition down about 2% so far. It's been swinging between gains and losses. Of course, this is the blank check company that soared more than ninefold on Thursday and Friday after agreeing to buy former President Donald Trump's fledgling media business.
Yeah, that was a huge mover at the end of last week, as you know, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, thank you as always for the pre-market update. S&P futures right now up 6 points, Dow futures up 16, NASDAQ futures up 39 points, the 10-year Treasury yield 1.65%. This is Bloomberg. And we're coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people. Character, community, partnership, together as one. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. And futures are on the rise this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures up 14 points. S&P's gained 6. NASDAQ futures are higher by 41. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.66%. Gold rises 7 points. Bitcoin is up 2.4%. And Shanghai rose 0.8% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in Italy and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, Otis Worldwide beat estimates. And in deal news, PayPal said it is not pursuing a deal with Pinterest. PayPal is up 7% pre-market. Pinterest is down 13%. In other news, Tesla's Model 3 was the top-selling vehicle in Europe last month. And wrapping things up, Carnival was cut to neutral over at Citigroup. Whirlpool was cut to underperform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The White House said President Joe Biden made progress on his big tax and spending plan in a meeting with key moderate Senator Joe Manchin and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, though further talks among staffers will be needed. The rare Sunday meeting was held over breakfast at the president's home in Delaware. Sudan's army has put the prime minister under house arrest and arrested government ministers, according to people familiar with the matter. The U.S. has warned a military takeover would imperil its support. In the NFL, the Giants won. The Jets got a what for and why whipping from the Patriots, 54-13. Washington, the Ravens, and the 49ers lost. In the NBA, the Knicks and Nets lost. The Celtics and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders and Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
corporate headquarters will still gravitate to big cities. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Last month, drugstore chain Rite Aid announced that it's adopting a remote-first work approach for corporate staff. It also said it's moving its headquarters from a suburb of Harrisburg to the city of Philadelphia. It's just one company, but it does seem like a sign that the post-pandemic trajectory of corporate headquarters and office space in general won't be as simple as a shift from cities to suburbs or small towns. Even if the era of commuting to the office every day really is over, large companies that want most employees to come in part of the time will need centrally located offices in large metropolitan areas. Those that go mostly remote, like Rite Aid, will want headquarters in places with major airports and lots of amenities. Cities still have their uses. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Malicious hackers are increasingly stashing and launching malware attacks from inside the most popular public cloud computing systems, including Microsoft's Azure, Amazon Web Services, and Google's Drive. That's according to research by the cybersecurity firm Netskope. In 2 years, the shares of malicious software launched from the cloud increased to 71% from 46% of the samples scanned by Netskope. Panasonic says it is working to meet, quote, next-level demand from Tesla and develop an advanced battery for the automaker. Tesla announced earlier this month that it delivered a record number of cars worldwide and is looking to shift to cheaper lithium iron phosphate batteries globally for its standard range vehicles. That's a chemistry supplied by Tesla, by China supplier, and Panasonic rival contemporary Amperex Technology. And a bid to unionize Amazon workers at a distribution center in New York City neared an important milestone. Organizers say they have collected signatures from more than 2,000 employees at four Amazon facilities in Staten Island. The bid to establish the Amazon Labor Union in New York City is the second attempt in the past year to form a union. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:52 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. with just 6 days now until Democrats' self-imposed deadline to agree on President Biden's economic agenda. Progressive Congressman Ro Khanna tells Fox News Sunday he is hopeful they'll get to a deal on infrastructure and social spending in time.
The president needs the reconciliation agreement to go to Glasgow. That's what is going to deal with climate change. That's what's going to hit his goals of 50% reduction by 2030. I'm confident we will have an agreement.
The president has signaled he's open to ending the filibuster to push his agenda forward. Independent Senator Angus King caucuses with Democrats. He's saying not so fast.
I'd like to restore the Senate to what it was, where we actually had debates and people had to hold the floor. And so I think some kind of talking filibuster, perhaps a rule that instead of having to have 60 votes to pass something, you'd have to have 41 votes to stop it.
Senator King was on NBC's Meet the Press. Meantime, an FDA advisory panel meets this week to consider COVID vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky tells Meet the Press approvals could come as soon as next week.
As soon as we have both the FDA authorization and the CDC recommendations, there will be vaccine out there so children can start rolling up their sleeves.
And Dr. Anthony Fauci was on ABC's This Week pushing back at Republican Senator Rand Paul, who suggested he misled Congress about government-funded research into coronaviruses in Wuhan, China.
It is molecularly impossible for those viruses that were worked on to turn into SARS-CoV-2.
This week, Meet the Press and Fox News Sunday can all be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. And for more, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, starting out with the latest on getting to an agreement on President Biden's economic agenda. Emily, we know the president had Senate Leader Schumer and Senator Manchin over for breakfast yesterday. Breaking news this morning, there may have been some movement on Manchin's part.
Yes, we're hearing that Senator Manchin is now more open to that $1.75 trillion bill. That's up from where he was with $1.5, and just sort of signals a little bit of Democrats starting to come together or as a consensus before the deadline of the end of this month. Biden going to the UN climate summit, and also remember there is that highway funding that does need to be reauthorized. So lots of moving parts here, but there's also many things left to figure out. If we're not going to raise corporate tax rates, Democrats have to find that money somewhere else in terms of revenue raisers. They're discussing a potential income tax on those who make more than $1 billion per year or who make more than $100 million over three consecutive years. They're also looking to potentially tax unrealized capital gains. But lots and lots of questions, Nathan, about how that will actually work in terms of enforcement. And we really haven't seen any legislative text at this point detailing exactly how this would occur. So there are some big, big question marks here and a lot of work really left to be done if Democrats want to get this done by the end of the week.
Which makes it that much harder to actually vote on legislation if we don't have text for it, Emily. But are we closer to getting to what Democrats seem to be saying is what they need to get before the president leaves for Europe next week, at least an agreement?
That is really a great question, Nathan, because it's not just the revenue raisers. It is also aspects of climate. The crown jewel of the Democrats' plan was this clean energy power program, and that's now no longer in the bill. They're going to have to find another way to reduce emissions by 50% by 2030, or else there are some Democrats who have said they are not going to support this bill. And it also, if President Biden wants to be seen as an international leader on this, that weakens his hand to not have something firm on climate. So there's really a lot left to do. There is no guarantee that this is going to be done, even from a framework perspective, before President Biden leaves on Thursday.
I wonder if we're starting to see now, Emily, as this legislation gets whittled down, almost a correlation to the president's popularity. It's at an all-time low since he took office.
It is. We've continued to see President Biden's poll numbers slip. And it's interesting. There was a poll that was done by CBS News that showed that what Americans really want Biden to focus on that they feel he's not is addressing inflation as well as addressing concerns at the U.S.'s southern border. And, you know, while some of the policies within this social spending and tax plan are popular, taxing the rich polls very well, expanding health care polls well, child care polls very well. But there are other larger issues that are concerning Americans that you really do not see the Biden administration addressing at this point. And those could become bigger issues for Biden. Right now, he's using his political capital to try and get this bill through. But there are also other issues that he's facing.
And keeping an eye on all those issues, of course, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins from the nation's capital. Emily, as always, thank you for the update. And you can read more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures higher by 6 points now. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures up 42 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield 1.65%. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.